Hey, everybody. So, yeah, like John said, this is my first Sunday speaking as a volunteer. It's awesome. I love this church. And I don't know if this will really be a sermon today, but it's going to be something. Yesterday was my birthday, and Judy, I think, where's Judy? She's back there, and I can talk about her. Made a cake again, and I try to tell her not to do that stuff, but can't stop Judy. But the birthday is, well, Wyatt just left, darn, he just left with the kids, but it's Wyatt's birthday today, actually. Mine was yesterday. And so I turned 66 yesterday. And a birthday for me, I don't know about for you, but it's always like a time of reflection. And especially this time of year, it's kind of like a time of reflection. But so I've been thinking about a lot of things. And in this change that, like, Kathy and I are in a sense of, it's change. I know retirement is kind of a weird word, but it's definitely a transition and a change. And that's probably more, is a better thing to call it. And it's what we're really all in all the time. But sometimes it's just more defined, you know, it's just more present. And so so I was thinking yesterday morning, when I woke up kind of early, and my son, who lives in Portland, texted me, because it's my on your birthday, you know, before Facebook and texting, you know, you might get some calls from some relatives. But now I had like 55 people say happy birthday to me yesterday on Facebook. I am like amazing. But my son this in the morning said, "Happy birthday, Papa. You may be old, but you're not dead yet." Very encouraging. And then he said, looking forward to seeing you guys, because we're actually going to spend some time with him. He just got back from Germany. That's another long story. But we haven't seen him in a while, so I'm looking forward to that, because I try to stretch my birthday out as far as I can. And then shortly after that, my daughter called from San Diego and to wish me a happy birthday, and my son-in-law, and put on our granddaughter to sing happy birthday to me. And she didn't get it really very well. But she, you know, she was distracted then and wanted to do something else. Before the call was over, though, she came back on and sang, "I Want to Hold Your Hand." That was incredible. So birthdays, you know, it started off really good. A good friend the day before had brought me a couple books, Wendell Berry books, and I was thrilled with that. And then I got to, yesterday, Kathy and I got to go to lunch with Jennifer and Wyatt to celebrate his birthday and my birthday. And Jennifer, in a sense, passed her exam, and she's now a tax preparer, and she's got a job lined up. And you know what? Someday in the future, we're going to have Jennifer come up and share a few things with us about how God takes you through transitions. And I'm looking forward to that. But we got to go to, I asked Wyatt, wherever you want to go, Wyatt, you know, this is your birthday, we're going in mine, we'll go where you want to go. And he wanted to go to Buffalo Wild Wings. Now, I had no idea what that was. But what it is some pretty great food and big screens all over the place. And it was a playoff game. Now, normally, I wouldn't have probably even got to watch that game, because Kathy would have had other plans. But I got to watch some NFL playoff game with Jen, who likes football too, and Kathy kind of had to endure. And anyway, so that was fun. Okay, I'm getting lost here. I have a friend in Hawaii yesterday, and maybe some of you have friends and family in Hawaii, so you know what happened there, don't you? Pretty awful. And my friend texted me to wish me a happy birthday. He said, from someone that survived a nuclear ballistic test or whatever it was. He's trying to make light of it, but it wasn't light. And he and his family, so those of you that don't know, there was a false alarm, but everybody thought it was real. because it came on. This is not false. This is real in Hawaii. And when you consider Hawaii's history and Pearl Harbor and anything else that's happened there, it was pretty scary. And people, my friend, said he thought they had 30 minutes to tell goodbyes to people because they were going to be under nuclear attack. And you know, we know the news on that, and Hawaii is the most vulnerable spot. So that, you know, I had some conversation with him over texting or Facebook, and we know that it was like 39 minutes, I think, before it came through that this is not real. You know, this was just a mistake. Someone hit a wrong button. But that's, you know, that's a scary, scary thing. And God, just touch the people in Hawaii today, because they've been through trauma. And we just pray for your peace there. And my friend said he was calling family just to say goodbye. And that's, I guess we're all just have to live now, Lord, but we need your presence. And we thank you for your presence, and we pray that strongly in Hawaii today, and all those that were touched by that. So anyway, but he texted later in the day, and my friend said, "So your birthday will always be like the going to remember that we were under a ballistic attack." So he's got a sense of humor. I appreciate it. We need that, don't we? We need a sense of humor. So anyway, a time of reflection. Yeah, I come here today as a volunteer, and I talked, I think, last week, maybe when I was doing announcements about 40 years ago, we started renting this building, and about that time, I became on staff with this church. Now, there were other people, too. I got $50 a month in those days, but that was 1978, so you could do a lot with $50. Seriously. And I had my own business. So, and then for years, then I remember the bump to $200. And I had my own business, so I was bivocational for most of my ministry time. And that was always a struggle for me, especially in the early days. But if at some point in my time as pastor, I realized that's my calling. I'm bivocational. It's okay. And some people didn't like it over the years, but there were other people who really liked it. So that's just people. We are all so different and unique. And so as we think about ordination coming up for John is different and unique from me, and so are we all. And that's a good thing. God has made us that way. But as a pastor here, meeting in this building, Kathy and I have experienced all kinds of people over these 40 years. Lots of people have come and gone. That is part of life for all kinds of reasons. Death, sometimes, moving, all kinds of reasons. It's something that pastors experience in a different way than other people do. And it's never wrong to leave. Don't ever let someone tell you that in church life. It's never wrong to leave. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's wrong to leave for the reasons people leave, okay? Sometimes things need to settle better than they do, but it's never wrong to leave. But it's easy to leave for the wrong reasons. You hear what I'm saying? Because that's people, and that's the stuff we always have to work out. So, anyway, thinking about this, Kathy, I'm going to have Kathy come up and share something here in a bit. Because Kathy and I have really done this together. And I just something to share. I'm not sure when. Peggy was talking to us about this a few weeks ago. We should have a big party for you, Breck, and Kathy for you're retiring. And I appreciate that. Appreciate the thought. And we were talking about when. Well, I don't know when we're going to do something like that, but we will do it. But it might not be till late April or May. It's not going to be for a while. We're not going anywhere except to, you know, San Diego once in a while for see the granddaughter so she can sing to me in person. but that'll, you know, that'll come up later. But right now we're really focused on John and this ordination service. And in our case, for John Frederick, it's to really recognize and confirm that he has been called, that he's been called by God. And that is a very exciting thing, called by God to ministry. And in John's case, I really believe it, to the office of a pastor. Our leaders in this church, the Learmans, Kathy and I, Steve and Christine, we have all confirmed this already. We've confirmed John in this position. John's been working with us as equal leaders now for a few years. And we are equal in our leadership. Even though I'm, you know, the person that's been on staff the most, and that's different responsibilities, we're equal in how we govern and lead the church. So, and what I'm really thrilled about with John in that sense is he's our friend. And that relationship, I could not be happier about the bond we have as leaders and in our friendship. Doesn't mean we all agree all the time. No way. No one ever does. But we really care and love each other. John has gone through a period of training and discernment related to this call. And you get that from John. You just talk to him. It's something he has been working out. Okay. We will lay hands on John and authorize him to take on ministry, the ministry of a called pastor, which he already has done, really. He has the gift. He has the calling. It's our responsibility, mine and all of ours, to recognize it and to do it publicly. And as John just spoke this morning about this town and this community, it involves it all. And so this last week, I've been inviting people. John's been inviting people, and you know, just that don't come here regularly. Some of them maybe never, but they're still part of us in a community way. Other pastors, other leaders, other just people that we feel connected to. So I'm delighted to see John take on this calling. Okay, you know, he talked about Dan Delgado rooting for him. I want to be a big rooter for John, and I think we, you know, I encourage us all in that. That's important. I was contacted a few times yesterday by two or three individuals, and the things they said to me, I wept. It touched the part in me that's like, yeah, I want to be all I can be in God. So we need that kind of encouragement. I'm delighted with John. I have known and worked with John now for several years. And I'll just say this. This is a side note. When John first came here, and he mentioned being 18, and I don't know how long he'd been here. Not too long. And Gail Bozzi said one day, Gail, right? Raise your hand, Gail. Gail, I don't know if Gail remembers, but she said, you know, John's going to be the pastor that replaces you, Breck. And when she said it to me that day, I thought, well, that'd be awesome, but that's a long shot. But I think Gail sensed something deeper in her, see, that, you know, that no one else maybe did. But I appreciated Gail saying it the way she said it that day, because it's always kind of stuck with me. Kathy, why don't you come up now? Kathy is an amazing leader, and sometimes I wonder if I'd be a leader at all if it wasn't for her. And because I'm kind of a reluctant leader, that's kind of I don't think Kathy really is a reluctant leader. I think she's someone who kind of knows what she wants and wants to go get it. And I feel like John's more of like that too. He's more like a leader with that kind of focus. I don't know.
We were on a walk and I said a few words. Wait, you're taking my notes. You can take your book. I said a few words and he said, oh, say that tomorrow. So that's not why I'm up here. But I'm happy to speak about John, and I'm happy. I also wanted to speak a little bit about Oak Street Church, like all of you guys. And I was reflecting on the fact that sometimes you use cliches or metaphors to express things because they seem to just fit. And I had, and as people have been saying to us, you're going to retire. And I said, yeah, we were kind of like passing the baton to John. And I like that metaphor. But then I started thinking about the other thing, another metaphor that's similar to that. Because like, that's like a race. But that's more personal or like this team kind of thing. But I like the idea of passing the torch. And and I was thinking about how Oak Street Church, all of you, whatever you want to, Oaksters, Little Acorns, whatever. Oak Street Church is represented by you guys. It's also represented by tons of people who have come and gone, like Breck mentioned earlier. And I think it's really important to know, like, we carry a history and a specific calling as a church to be kind of a unique light in our community and in our, even in our, I mean, I love to think big, but we, in the spirit, we're a part of a nation, we're a part of the world, we're a part of this kingdom on earth. And so God calls us in really, you know, that sounds like big, but on the other hand, what we do, why we have this calling and why we're effective is because we're called to love people. We're called to care for people. We're called to encourage people. We're called to teach people, not just people up here behind this little music stand with the mic, but all the time we're called to teach what we know and give away what God's given us. And in this transition time, it's really important to recognize that we do need leaders who are willing to carry the torch. And when leaders don't do it all and they don't define it all, but they do cast a vision so that we can walk together in that vision. And I think about that metaphor of passing the torch, so that kind of fits a person who is a leader like John, who he's not only willing to take this position, but he knows he's called. You know, we can say, Gail can prophesy over him however many years ago, that guy's going to be it. But God had to speak to John, and he has in lots of really beautiful ways, and I just love that. And that's the reason that he's willing to grab this torch. He's risen up to that job. And I actually looked in the dictionary, what is that phrase, carry the torch, and there's this whole romantic kind of part of it, but that's not what I was talking about or thinking about using the metaphor that way. But it means a person who is working hard to ensure that a cause or a belief or a movement is not forgotten and continues to grow stronger. And it doesn't mean that things won't change, because change is always present, but it's this idea of carrying the torch means that we're going to carry something into the future. So all these beautiful and amazing things that when I look back, I mean, they're kind of countless. So like you can remember things and you can name some things. There really are kind of countless things, whether it's you're talking about somebody who went to a different country and they carried us with them in a sense because of our relationship, or they started something, or they got healed, and and life came out of that because of the ministry year. Those kinds of things are going to carry on. Those kinds of things are going to carry on into the future because John's saying, I'm willing. Where is that boy? He's upstairs teaching. Dang it. Can't even speak to him. And another definition meant to keep the fire burning. Another little thing that I just wanted to say as far as that carrying the torch, I know there were times where John wasn't quite sure and we weren't quite sure. We're looking to the future, because that's another thing a leader does, looks to the future. Like, how does this thing that's way bigger than ourselves or our individual selves, how does this bigger thing go into the future? And sometimes we had to kind of say, Lord, help, what, where, wisdom, you know, all those kinds of things. So it's been such a blessing to see John respond to that and really know and to really see God at work in him, because we love Oak Street Church and we want, you know, the blessing of Oak Street and the influence of Oak Street to that's flowed from here. We want it to keep flowing. Yeah, so he's going to keep the light shining in this part of the kingdom. So I am so blessed. I just want to share that. Thanks.
Thanks, Kath. I want to put up some scripture here to wind this up a little bit. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22, which a lot of us are familiar with. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And might pop it up there. But anyway, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And, you know, those are the character qualities that the Holy Spirit can work in us, right? Those are the qualities that we want to have. We're not complete in them. We're all lacking, but that's being formed. That's Christ being formed in us. The word that kind of jumped out at me as I was kind of just meditating and thinking about John was faithfulness. I'm not saying he doesn't have love, joy, peace, but faithfulness just stuck with me about who John is, and that's how, in working with him. Hey, Kathy, that's okay. You don't have to put that up, but I do have another one I'd like you to put up. Sorry. Exodus. It says just go to Exodus. Exodus 33:7-11. Oh, there it is. So anyway, faith. So I just wanted us to be thinking about that. Wow, that was fast, huh? I wanted you to think about faithfulness, just that word. And I really think it's a word that describes John really well. And especially as I have worked with him, I have had that strong sense about him. But in this story, let's read this story together today. It's kind of an obscure story, but I started thinking about this when I read this story. Now, I'm not Moses, but what do I have in common with Moses? Anybody? Old? Thank you. That's true.
You are a leader.
I'm a reluctant leader. Okay, way to go, Lori. Can always count on Lori for this, just like, yeah.
He loved the Lord.
He loved the Lord. Oh, I do, yeah.
Not without sin.
Not without sin. Thanks, Judy. What I was thinking about, and I think I was asking Kathy this last night, I said, Moses, there was this thing about how long was he in Egypt? 40 years. How long was he in the desert? 40 years. How long then in the wilderness? 40 years. It's like this 40-year pattern with Moses. And I thought, well, 40 years. Okay, I've been doing this, staff pastor, 40 years. So I felt this strong connection with Moses. Just wanted you to know that. I'm not Moses, and John is not Joshua. Okay, that's enough. let's look at this story. This is a story about Moses, and things are crazy in the history of the people of God here. Crazy. They've just come down a mountain, built a calf, the law, people killed. I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess. And God's people are in a camp. Okay, they left Egypt, but now it's a mess. And Moses has a mess to deal with. But listen to this story. I love this story. Now, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of the cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance of his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face because there was a mess. These are desperate times for Moses. You know, Moses, I'm going to see him. I'm getting this tent. I'm taking it outside the camp. I'm going to set it up, and God help us. It's a big deal, this tent. This is before they have their own. Not much has been established, the worship pattern for the Israelites. This is all like it's forming. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. And I know of this story, but Joshua obviously wanted something better, didn't he? He wanted God to be known. He wanted to be able to hear God. He wanted to be able to show God to people. And I really think that's what pastors try to do. You know, they try to listen to God, know God. They want people to know God, to listen to God, and they want to show God to people. So this story, I just reflected on this faithfulness, and I thought of John, and then I thought of John living in the house next door. It's like, this is the tent of meeting, right? All kinds of stuff goes on here. Sometimes wonderful, beautiful stuff, sometimes chaos, sometimes messes, real messes. But John's there, almost like he's by the tent of meeting, guarding it, if that's what Joshua was doing. John's had that response. It's not easy to live right there, necessarily, and be, you know, responsible to the church. But so this story, I just wanted to reflect on it today and think about it in that way. Sunday services, Monday meal, kids ministry, farm ministry, bakery ministry, all this stuff, you know, that I've been involved in, John's been right there with me, making it happen. You know, it's like if I wanted to see something happen, John might tell me why he thinks the way I'm doing it maybe isn't right, but the heart of it, let's get it done together. And I've so appreciated that. Anything I've dreamed or hoped was important, John would help accomplish it. So I love this story and how it just kind of reflects on a relationship with leaders. So I give you that today. We're going to take communion this morning. And before we do, we just always invite everyone to come and partake of Jesus. And our God, you know, as that was being worked out with Moses, God became to the people of Israel a God of covenant. He would make covenants, and I believe they weren't perfect. The laws God gave, they weren't perfect, but they were mankind. The people of God were in a progressive relationship. They were evolving into something new. God was kept revealing something more. And to the point where Jesus, when Jesus came, it says we have a new covenant, don't we? We have a new, it's brand new. The old stuff, we don't have to worry about it anymore. This is a new covenant now that Jesus has given, and he's kept it all and handed it to us, and he keeps handing it to us. And it's really a promise that's been already spoken today that he'll never leave us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. It's the covenant he makes with us. He doesn't promise that everything's going to go good. He doesn't promise that you're going to just be strengthened to do everything you can, even though we have verses that we can quote, that I can do all things in Christ. Well, you're not going to feel like you can do all things in Christ many times. But God will not leave you. And if you fall down, you can get up. because he'll pull you up. It's not even about getting up a lot of times. It's him pulling you up. I think the power that comes into us that we call the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. It's this revelation of who he is to us, who he is in himself. It's more of him. It's this power that comes, interestingly enough, through powerlessness and humility. This is how this power comes. I'm convinced of it. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. That's one of the current examples in recent history of powerlessness, vulnerability, weakness to make something good happen in our nation and in the world. So we can proudly celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Not a perfect man, but a man who tried to follow something, Jesus, in vulnerability and in weakness and powerlessness. Jesus came, he lived, and especially suffered and died. And we call him the Mighty God, and he is. But you know why he's the Almighty God? Because he's the all-vulnerable God. And that's what this table's about today. It's to remind us that God is so vulnerable, and he accepts you no matter what kind of stuff's going on in your life or how vulnerable you feel, how powerless you feel. He's wanting to touch you and be with you. I can say this honestly, and I'm done, almost done. My marriage changed, our marriage changed when Kathy and I figured out we couldn't do it anymore. And we had to become vulnerable to one another, to other people, like Otto and others here around us. In weakness, we're made strong. So I just want you to remember that as we close today and as we think about what's happening here now. I think we have great opportunity to rejoice and yet have such hope for what God is going to keep doing. As we hear him in our tent of meeting, you have a tent of meeting, I have a tent of meeting with the Lord, that will continue. And know that's who he is. He's all the all-vulnerable one. Amen. Judy and Nancy are going to come and help me today. And as communion, as we take communion, the service is over. But people need to hang out and get some prayer. You can. And there is a birthday cake and more cake. And we'll call that Amanda's farewell cake, okay, the other one? And so there's lots of cake and refreshments as we leave today, and you can fellowship more. Lord, we give you thanks for your vulnerability, your openness with us, how you draw us in, and you keep drawing us in, how you lift us up. And we thank you, Jesus. We want to see your face. And in our hearts, know that when we do see you in fullness in one day, we'll be like you. We'll be changed so much more even that we can't even get our minds around it. Amen.